Accession number 21112, Reel 5.
Robert Lockyer, Reel 5. So,
yeah, well,
we're done.
Well, that's right, we're getting forward.
Peace and broke out.
And there was, at the back of us, there was another barrack block, and they were full up with ex-Polish prisoner of war. You can imagine what they were like.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, you tell me, what were they like?
Well, they were absolutely mad, they were. But
really?
Well, I mean, they got released, you know, they were having the time of their life. But, of course, it was well out for money, civvies. I mean, they didn't damage any of them. Well, then we had to move. When we moved from Verdun, we went to the Hanomag factory in Hanover.
Oh, right, yeah.
And we took over that, and we were billeted in the office. The billets were in the office block. And we had to sort the... we were sorting the stuff out in the workshop there, and we had a mobile 5.5 anti-aircraft guns.
Oh, yeah.
The Germans had, and my corporal, he ran into it with a truck and broke his leg. And I didn't know he'd done it, and I never seen him afterwards. I was upset about that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him since.
Did he get into trouble for that then?
No, because he got sent back to England straight away. Right. But while we was at this Hanomag factory, then we got moved out of there eventually, and they were taken over by a crowd that was moving up from Italy, and a workshop.
Uh-huh.
And the funny part was that the next door woman, she was in the nursing department in the war, and her husband was a major in a creamy in the brigadier in the Remy.
Yeah.
They moved into that place.
Mm-hmm.
We just left.
Amazing, isn't it?
But she wasn't here then. But they moved down from Sarsby several years ago, and that's how I found out about it.
So you were demobbed when you were at Hanover?
Well, yeah, what happened, before I got demobbed, old Montgomery decided he wanted three Panzer tanks built for France.
Uh-huh.
And I had to go down with our workshop officer to this tank factory and see where these Panzer tanks was built and arrange for them to be built up in this, because we moved out of Hanover factory then and took over a factory outside a place called Latzen.
Oh, yeah.
Where they were building, they had all sorts in there. They were building the barrels for those 88mm guns in there. And they had everything in there in that place. You never seen anything like it. Oh, dear. And anyhow, it was there that we were in a guest house at that place. And we had some good times there, I'll tell you.
Well, because the war was over, so the atmosphere must have been quite...
Well, yeah, because every night in the mess, of course, we had the piano, we had the drums, and that was it.
Right, so which did you play?
I played the drums, funny enough.
Yeah.
And old Frankie Hall, he used to play the piano, and he was drunk, oh Lord, he'd be playing away.
Yeah. What tunes did you play?
Oh, all the old stuff. But the funny part was that the old Jimmy Hill, the one that lived at DC, is dead now, and Frankie Hall, the three of us were the last three, and we were sober as judges, and all the rest was flamed out. Because I never used to drink very much myself. I can't take it.
Yeah.
But anyway, I went down to this place and I left it that they were going to get their own. The Germans were going to take and put us and build the tanks up in that workshop that we'd taken over at Latzen. And then the last job I'd done was one of the coaches that the British coach that some unit was using, I can't think who it was now, had run a big end on it and in the engine. And so old Fieldhouse, our captain, workshop officer, he got me the good end of this blooming plane, lay on me back and take the size of the blooming, what they had to remetal for and get the, and arrange for this German firm to remetal this bearing and put it in. That was the last job I done.
What was the attitude of the Germans?
Oh, they were all right. They were bothered. Yeah. They couldn't, would they? Yeah. My army career officially started at 27th of 2nd, 1939, mm-hmm. and finished at the 25th of the 1st, 1946. Right. But I arrived home on November 9th, 1945.
Oh, right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I always say, I never did me any harm, the army.
Yeah. Did you quite enjoy it?
Well, I don't say I enjoyed it, but it didn't do me any harm. It opened, it altered my views on life a hell of a lot.
And your highest rank was Warrant Officer 1, was it?
That's right,
Warrant
yeah.
Warrant Officer 1, yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Warrant Officer Class 1.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing, really, when you think about it.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. But so, how do you think the army treated you, really?
Well, I mean, they couldn't do much better than what they did. I don't see how they could, not with the way things were at the time. Mm. I can't really see how they could.
Yeah. Do you think you should get a pension from them?
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah. So, what did you do when you came back?
I went back on my own job, on my old firm.
Right.
But the only thing I had against our firm I worked for was the fact that I never had a cigarette or blooming anything from them, you know.
They never sent you anything?
No. And the bloke next door to me, he's dead now, but he worked with them, you know.
Yeah.
Not a thing.
They didn't, nobody thought of it.
But I went back as charge hand, so...
Yeah.
And actually, the army career didn't do me any harm because I'd been in charge of all these fitters and everything,
yes.
and the personnel I had under me, that was it. You
yes.
know, I knew how to treat them, sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I trained a lot of apprentices there.
Mm.
That was the thing I did after the war. I mean, I get apprentices now that still get in touch. You know.
Yes. And did you stay there till he retired? Or?
Yes, yeah. I was there 45 years.
Right, yeah.
Actually, because they included me war service, I went there and I met Joan there, you see.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, right. Mm.
Yeah.
I went
you've been married a few years now.
I went there in 1933. She came there in 1934. Mm. And we got married in 1937.
Yeah.
And been in here ever since.
Amazing. Yeah, wonderful. Well, you look very well on it. What do you think did you have any mental effects of the war? You know, did it make you
nervous? No, I don't think so.
No.
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 No. No. No.
What was the best thing about the
army? Well, actually, I think it made me stand on my own feet a bit more, actually. It did me a bit of good, actually, I think. Because, I mean, with the guard in the workshop, I used to have to take the guard. I was orderly officer for a day and things like that, you see. So, I mean, you got to the stage when you knew what you were doing and you treated... I treated the personnel... As I found them, you know, I wouldn't, I never roughed anybody up or anything like that. I made them, because they all seemed to appreciate what you were doing for them, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Did you have any dealings with the military police at all? Did
Not
you have
at
the
all.
Opinion about them?
No, no.
The RAMC, they looked after you here, didn't they? Mm. Were they
well, I should have been had up several times. But I mean, when I was at LC Barracks, I come down here on leave one day. I never had any pass or anything. You know, got away with it. But several things like that,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. You mentioned church parade. Did you have church parades while you were abroad, or was it just a thing that happened at home?
I can't remember whether we had any abroad. I don't think we did, because we were on the move most of the time, you see.
Did you ever see any padres when you were abroad?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. Well, I suppose we did. I don't know. I suppose we did. But, I mean, I remember the church parade we had down at Haverfield when I was down there on the course one Sunday morning. They put me on right marker. I was a staff sergeant then, you see. And sure enough, old Cyril Medlin, this friend of mine that was at Dunkirk with me, he was in the front rank. Of course, I didn't know it. And I was right marker. And my mate Charlton, he was an ASM then, had come down with me from up at Bretford for this course. And he was in charge of the parade. And I was right marker. So, of course, you know, the right marker, you have to go out and come back and light up the line. Of course, I forgot to give him all his front. And things like that, you know, you remember.
Yes. So, what did you think about the people who didn't go to war, the men who didn't go?
I don't blame them. It's just one of those things.
It's all right.
It's just one of those things, wasn't it, really? Yeah. I mean...
You don't think they should have gone?
I mean, they tried to get me out, you see. Mm. Our firm tried to get me out when I was a staff sergeant. If I hadn't have been a staff sergeant, I should have been allowed out.
Right.
Not permanently, but for temporarily.
But
so, you proved too useful.
So, do you think that when you were actually demobbed, where did you actually sign out?
Taunton.
Taunton, right, okay. Mm. What was that process like? I mean, did they all...
I wasn't much bother about it. Just got a new suit and that was that. Train pass and that was it. Don't remember much about it.
Yeah. But it was a good thing in your life.
Pardon?
The army was a good thing in your life.
Well, it didn't do me any harm. Mm. Mm.
Yeah, lovely. Well, Robert Lockyer, thank you very much indeed.
I didn't know you were going through right through the Roman Army.
We're very thorough. You've got a wonderful memory. Thank you.
And I'll tell you
this is the end of Reel 5.